Well, good evening. So good to see you guys tonight. Boy, it was kind of a nice day out there. Loved seeing the snow melting. That's a good thing. So it also diminishes our sledding opportunities as a family. So I don't know about that. But hey, we are charging through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're in the last chapter, and we only have a couple weeks left. I don't know quite how long it's going to take to get through to the end of the book, but let's review the book. The first couple of chapters go like this. Paul looks back to this church in Thessalonica, to a church that was born out of adversity, and he's pouring on the compliments. They're doing so great. But now in the last two chapters of the book, he transitions to talking about some theology, some big questions. Questions like, what happens to Christians who die before Jesus comes back? Questions like, when will the day of the Lord take place? Now, the idea of what is the day of the Lord, that's what we talked about last week. What is the day of the Lord? Well, I made the case, or tried to make the case last week. I might need some help advancing here. Is that when Paul uses this phrase, the day of the Lord, here's our timeline. Jesus came here. We're in the church age now. The time is coming. We're in the church will be taken up to heaven and where God will pour out his wrath on the earth. It'll be 7 years of God pouring out fury against the earth. And it's something that God removes the church out of the world for, but that day is coming. And so I want you to look at me and be able to answer this question. Are you ready for the day of the Lord to come? If you believe in God at all, then you believe that the day is coming where God's judgment is coming on the earth. And I got to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for it? And by that, I mean two things. Number one, do you know that you're a child of God? Like if we had a conversation and we were talking and I asked you, if you died right now, where do you wake up? And your answer is, boy, I don't really know. That's a dangerous place to be. You're not ready. You're not ready. I also mean this, if you're a child of God and you're just living to indulge yourself, you're living to with your mind set on things of earth, you're not thinking about this at all, of Jesus coming back, like that is the farthest thing from your mind, you're not ready. You're not ready. And I want to ask you, are you ready tonight? This text is a text, it's calling Christians to be ready and sober and alert, because the day is coming when Jesus will take the church up to heaven and God will pour out his wrath on the earth. And so, are you ready? So that's what this is all about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Dear God, I pray that you would help us as we look at the text tonight, that you would speak to us and that you would teach us and help us to grow. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The Bible describes those who are not ready as it uses a metaphor. It says they're like those who are sleeping. There's a medical study that was released by Stanford Medicine, and it revealed over 8 million Americans are prone to sleepwalking. So I kind of got on this bunny trail. You know, in that song, they called me the bunny trail pastor. I don't know why. But there are a lot of bunny trails on the internet, and I got onto crazy sleepwalking stories. All right, and you can find all kinds of fascinating things. Here's one. There's a lady who kept finding apple cores strewn over the house, and she hated apples. Like, she hated to eat apples, and so she and her husband, they kept blaming their daughter. They're like, hey, like, honey, you gotta, like, if you eat an apple, that's great, but you gotta throw it away when you're done. And the daughter's like, no, it's not me. Like, I'm not doing it. They're like, okay, but really, you have to throw it away when you're done. Well, the incriminating video came out weeks later where her husband videoed this woman who went to the counter or wherever, grabbed an apple all in her sleep and devoured the apples in the middle of the night. And lo and behold, that was her. Eating all the apples, leaving the apple cores around the house. There's another kind of sleepwalking, right? And that's kind of what Paul is talking about here. It's talking about, it's like there's this idea that there are people who go through life and Jesus rapturing the church, the tribulation, the day of the Lord, that's the furthest thing from their mind. They mock that idea. And the idea of Jesus coming back at all is laughable, or at least maybe that's just something they'll figure out later in life. Paul says that those kinds of people, it's like they're asleep. It's like they're walking through sleepwalking, you might call it. So there's two kinds of people. There's people who are awake and there's people who are asleep. People who are asleep, not thinking about God, they don't believe Jesus is coming back at all. They live their life kind of like it's an endless night. It's like they're always in the darkness. It's always night. And so in this text, this is part two of verses 1-11. It talks about how the day of the Lord comes like a thief in the night. That's not the idea that when the day of the Lord comes, it's not that it comes at 2 a.m. That's not the idea. I mean, somewhere it's going to be 2 a.m., somewhere it's going to be 2 in the afternoon. That's not the idea. It's saying there's a lot of people who live their life, and it's like it's always night. It's always the darkness for them. And so for them, when the day of the Lord comes, God pours out his wrath, it comes like a thief in the night. So in this text, Paul's talking to Christians, and he's saying, you aren't of the night. You're a different kind of person. You are of the day, Christian. And so he's saying, since you believe in God, live like it. Don't act like you're asleep. Don't put this out of your mind that judgment is coming. God raptures the church to heaven. No, live like this will actually happen because it changes how you live. And so that's what this passage is all about. It's a call to be sober and alert. And so, again, are you ready, Christian? Are you ready for the rapture in the day of the Lord? I think there are some Christians who end up living their lives just consumed on their own interests. Sometimes you might just pull out money for one example. Sometimes you can live your life consumed with earning money and budgeting money and spending money or not having enough money or worrying about money or investing money. I mean, just that alone, you can be so distracted that you're not even thinking about these things. You're not ready in that sense. And there's a danger, and Paul's warning the Christians, like, live with the reality that Jesus exists and that he's coming back. Live with that in mind. So don't sleep like other people do, but be ready. You know, there's a lot of people who think, okay, I'm going to be ready. And so the way that you get ready is that you predict the exact date of when this all happens. That's how you get ready. You know, it's actually the opposite of that. That's not true. You get ready by being alert and by being sober. You might even put it like this. You know, why do you set an alarm clock? I set an alarm clock so that I can put my brain to sleep at night. And I can just, okay, I don't have to worry about this for the next 8 hours. I wish 8 hours. I can just be resting now. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to be alert. So the idea is not, hey, we're ready by setting a date and then we can relax and just please ourselves until right at the last minute and then get ready. No, no, no. The idea is Christians are to live their lives always ready, always alert. So that's what this is about. Let's read the text. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this is kind of the second half of our look at verses 1 through 11. So I'm actually going to start reading verse 5 and go through verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 5. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you also are doing. Okay, notice point number one here. There's a running image that goes through this whole passage, and it's a contrast between those who are of the night and those who are of the day. You might say night people and day people, or unbelievers and believers. there's really this idea. And so notice the contrast between night and day throughout the text. Here's different times where it talks about, it uses the word day or sons of light. We are of the day. But then throughout the text, it talks about a different kind of person. Those who are of darkness, those who sleep, those who get drunk. So listen to these descriptions as it describes people who are of the night. It's describing people who are not ready for Jesus to rapture the church. They're not ready for the day of the Lord. First, you might put this, while they're saying peace and safety, you might describe it like this. They're deceived. They're oblivious. Like the day of the Lord's coming, and they are not ready for this. Like someone who has a final exam coming, and they just don't study. Like they're saying, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. No problems. That describes people who are of the night. Destruction will come upon them suddenly. That's what it's like to be someone who's asleep, not ready. Like labor pains come upon a woman. That's what happens to them. People of the night, they won't escape. The day of the Lord overtakes them. It's like they're asleep and it's like they're drunk. All this kind of getting at this idea. They're unaware. They've denied God. They're saying, I don't need to be worried about this. I don't need to be worried about getting right with God because nothing's ever going to happen. They're not ready. But that's the people who are of the night. Now, Paul describes, he also just throughout this text describes people who are of the day. In verse 5, look at verse 5. He tells the Thessalonians, for you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Watch this, how Christians or people of the day are different. You're not in darkness. The day of the Lord doesn't overtake you like a thief. Again, we are not of night. We're not of darkness. People who are of the day shouldn't go around living as if they were asleep. That's how they're different than people who are of the night. They're to be alert and sober. Again, to be sober. They're people who have faith and love and hope. People of the day are not destined for wrath. People of the day are destined for salvation. And then last, people of the day will live together with him. And so I just want to show you that because I think that's a helpful tool to understand this text. There's this running image comparing, contrasting those who are of the night and those who are of the day. And so that's the basic paradigm or structure here. And it's the idea is this. If you're of the day, if you're a Christian, you have no business living your life as if you were asleep. That leads to the next point. And it says, be sober and alert. Be sober and alert. Listen again to verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. So three things here. Don't sleep. Be alert. Be sober. And it just all kind of getting at this idea. The rapture can happen at any time. So be ready. Don't walk through life just forgetting the idea that God's going to pour his wrath on the earth someday. People can do that. Even Christians can do that, I think, sometimes. I mean, it takes a lot of mental energy to be a human being, to be a high school student. There's a lot to focus on in life, to be a college student, to be an adult. Like, you got to pay the car insurance. Like, there's a million details you got to do. And by the way, honey, just remember, we got to pay the car insurance next. There's a million things that can distract us as well. Just whether it's trying to entertain ourselves or just enjoying life. There's so many things that we can fall into. We can just be totally missing out on the grand timeline of history. And that's a danger. We should be living as if Jesus could come back for his church at any moment. Pastor Mike sets a good example. We were talking about something the other day, and we're like making a plan for the fall. I don't know what it was. And Mike said, well, hopefully, like, we'll plan on August, but hopefully the church will be raptured by then. Right? That's a good, like, we're living with that possibility. This could happen at any moment. You know, when you live with that reality, doesn't that change your priorities? Like when the reality of Jesus coming back for his church and the day of the Lord doesn't, like, if you live forgetting that and just saying, yeah, that'll probably never happen, that changes what you do in life. that changes how you live your life. But when you live sober and alert, it changes your priorities. It changes what you do. It forces you to rely to focus on what really matters in life. So there's a danger, not in losing our salvation, but I think in walking through life so distracted, so asleep, as it were, oblivious to what is to come. So Paul urges that, so don't be asleep like others, but be on guard. Two times the text tells us to be sober and alert. Right here, let us be alert and sober. Let us be sober. Be ready for this. But why? Why should we act like this? First, why, then how? Why should we be alert and ready as Christians? Well, verse 8 tells us very clearly, since we are of the day, let us be sober. Or, why be sober? Since we're of the day. Again, the same thing up here in verse 5. You are all sons of light. So then, let us be sober. Do you see the logic going here? Since this is who you are, live it out or act it out. Someone might say, well, wait, shouldn't it be the opposite? Like, if I'm a Christian, I'm the one category that doesn't have to be worried about this. Like, I'm good to go, right? I can just live and let live, and I'm safe. Number one, if that's you, I guess I have some question marks. Like, are you really wanting to honor God? Are you really in God's family if you don't care about this? But number two, shouldn't a Christian care deeply about how Jesus will find them when he comes to snatch them away? Christians, we're to live lives of obedience, not so that we can earn a place in God's family, but because we can't believe what God has done for us, and we want to honor him and live for him. 2 Corinthians 5 is a familiar verse. It says, and he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. The verse before says, for Christ's love compels us. So Christ's love, the fact that he died for us, it compels us to live a certain way. Since you are of the day, since God has saved you and died on the cross for you, that compels you to live as sons of day, to be sober and to be ready. Christians, we should live with a desire to keep short accounts with God and with other Christians. Short accounts. And instead of saying, I've got fire insurance, I'm good to go. No, we should live as if the rapture happened today, I wouldn't be ashamed of how I'm living. I wouldn't be ashamed of my walk with God or my relationship with other Christians. So that's why we should be sober and why we should live alert for this to happen at any time. Because that's who we are. But how? How do we live sober and alert? Well, I think the text tells us that, too. I actually like the NET version, how it translates it here. Instead of a vague having put on the breastplate of righteousness in verse 8, it says, by putting on a breastplate of faith. Let me explain. Verse 8 says this, but since we are of the day, we must stay sober by putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, our hope for salvation. I think this is best understood as means. This is my Greek nerdy moment of the night. This is a participle of means. It's describing how to stay sober. You stay sober by means of putting on faith and love and hope. So think about the connection here. How does being a person with faith and love and hope, how does that help you stay sober and alert for Christ and the rapture and the day of the Lord? Well, think about it like this. What if someone lost that faith? Say you have a woman who just these days she has a serious doubts that Jesus will ever return. I mean, maybe, but probably that's not going to happen. She's going to be a little more lax in her approach to life. She's not going to be sober. Think about a man who doesn't love Christ as much as they did last year. Their love for Christ has gone cold. they're not going to be longing for and expecting Christ to return for his church. They're not going to be alert. This will just slip to the background. Has that slipped to the background for you, your faith in Christ or your love for Christ? If it has, it's saying put on faith and love. It's like armor. It helps. But then also hope for salvation. So by putting these things on, by keeping the faith and by keeping stoked your love for the Lord and for having this hope in your salvation, that helps you to stay alert. It motivates you, compels you to stay alert. By the way, notice the three Christian virtues here: faith, love, and hope. These are kind of like the three core things, you might say. This back in verse chapter one, Paul says how he's constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope. And so at the beginning of the book, he's saying he's commending them. You guys are doing great in terms of faith, love, and hope. And now he's saying, here's how you stay sober by putting on faith, love, and hope. Okay, let's talk about the hope for salvation, because Paul's going to go kind of on a tangent, and he's going to talk about why we have this hope. Or the next verses are going to, I think, especially relate to this phrase. And here's really kind of the third point: is this, Christians won't face the Father's wrath because Jesus faced it or bore it for them. So Paul's going to spend two verses explaining why do we have this incredible hope with regard to salvation? Listen to verses 9 and 10. Why do we have hope? For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. That's an incredible truth. Jesus bore the Father's wrath pointed at your sin on your behalf. And because of that, you don't have to face the wrath of God. A Christian can live out this incredible truth. Christian, you will never be the object of God's fury and wrath, because Jesus was already the object of God's wrath in your place. Now, does God discipline his children? Yes, he does. Just like a father and the son in whom he delights. Does God allow difficulty to come into the life of a Christian? Yeah, like you look at someone like Job. God brings good through grief and difficulty. That's not the wrath of God, though. As a Christian, as you think about how do I relate to God, at this point, I am never on the receiving end of God's fury and wrath. That's amazing. As a Christian, God has not destined you for wrath, but for salvation. And so because of that, kind of as it ends here in verse 10, so that whether we are awake or asleep, and now I think it's talking about living or dying, so that whether you are alive or whether you die, we will live together with him. Listen, Christian, it's good to be a Christian. Like, in a sense, you can't lose. Whether you live or you die, ultimately, in the end, it's good news for you. You will live with Christ forever. And because of that, we should encourage each other with those words. That's what verse 11 is getting at. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. We should be using this hope of eternal life to say, brother, sister, it's going to be okay. And as a Christian, we have a unique understanding of that. It's going to be okay. You have the hope of eternal life. So as believers, as we walk through difficult times, let's encourage each other with the hope of salvation. Okay, a couple of application points here as we wrap up. Number one is this: don't sleep like the others do, like unbelievers do. Mike's message this morning, by the way, perfectly matches this for tonight. The verse in Philippians describes the enemies of the cross as, quote, those whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. That describes someone who's asleep. right? Their appetite, that's their God. Their mind is set on the things of the earth. That's what it looks like to be asleep. I think Paul's saying, don't, like, you're of the day. You don't have any business living your life focused on that. So don't sleep like others do. And then, two, be sober and alert. Are you ready for Jesus to snatch you up? Are you a Christian? Everyone's born a sinner. Nobody's perfect. We all know that. But God has a punishment for sin. It's the wages of sin is death. So God's going to pour out wrath on you because of your sin, because what you deserve is death. But Jesus died on the cross, taking that punishment for you. So if you will repent and believe, you will have this hope of eternal life. Do you know Christ? And second, if you're already a Christian, are you living like it? Are you living out the reality that you are a son of light? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the hope that we can have as Christians in knowing you. Lord, help us to live it out as we walk through life. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.